15 minutes past the hour, and a pleasure to have in studio now Dr. Paul Manning with Medical Associates. Also joining him, Tracy Lukritz. She is with the Mercy Sleep Center. Of course, we all know it's St. Patrick's Day. Dr. Manning's got his green shirt on and a tie. But it's also World Sleep Day. Dr. Manning, what is World Sleep Day?
Well, World Sleep Day is an opportunity for people to recognize the various disorders of sleep and realize that there's help out there for people with disorders of sleep. And that includes things like, for example, sleep apnea, of course, which everybody's well aware of. It includes disorders of insomnia. It includes disorders of what we call circadian sleep disorders, and that's such things, for example, like delayed sleep phase syndrome, which we see in teenagers. As they get on in high school, sometimes it's very hard to get them up in the morning, and then also includes the elderly who have what we call advanced sleep phase syndrome, where they go to bed too early, for example, and then their caregivers are stuck with them waking up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and they're wide awake and want to get their day started. There's also a group of pediatric sleep disorders, such as nightmares, confusional arousal, sleepwalking, bedwetting, for example, disorders including jet lag, snoring, what we call parasomnias, which is movements of sleep, and what we also call REM behavior disorders, and there's a disorder called narcolepsy, which is also out there. So all these disorders are included in sleep medicine, and Sleep Day gives us a chance to bring these disorders to the attention of the public and the fact that there is help out there.
Dr. Manning, what is the importance of sleep? Why do we need a good night's sleep, Doctor?
Well, sleep is important because it allows us to consolidate memory. It's been found that people who have a good night's sleep do better in the day as far as recalling information, memory issues, function. They've done studies with residents in the hospital where they found if they don't get a good night's sleep, they actually make more mistakes, and unfortunately these can have some considerable consequences. So sleep is very important. The Department of Transportation, of course, has found this to be important in the fact that if truck drivers, tugboat captains, pilots, if they don't get enough sleep, they can also make mistakes.
Visiting with Dr. Manning, also in studio, Tracy Lukritz. Now, Tracy, after they've seen the doctor, they realize maybe they do have a sleep disorder. They then see you. Talk a little bit about what you do at the Mercy Sleep Center.
Well, we have the patients come in. They first check into admitting, and then they come to the sleep lab. Sleep lab's in a separate building from the hospital. It's more home-like. They get their own bedroom. Then they get ready for bed. The sleep tech will put some different electrodes on them. We monitor different things like brain waves, eye movements, snoring, their breathing patterns, their oxygen level when they're sleeping. They get them all hooked up, and then they each have their own room. We do two patients a night, and then they sleep like they would at home. Whether they get up and go to the bathroom three times, then they can get up and go when they're at the sleep lab. Then, after it's all done, the sleep tech lets them go. They wake them up pretty early in the morning. It's like about 5 o'clock. And then I get the test the next day. I go through it, and I count how many times they stop breathing, how many times they kick their legs, how many times they wake up. And then I make it into reports, and then I give it to Dr. Manning to read.
Okay, and Dr. Manning, once you get that report, what are some of the things that you are looking for?
Well, for example, with sleep apnea, we look at the amount of times they either stop their breathing or they slow their breathing down. We look at how these breathing patterns affect heart rhythm and blood pressure. We look at the movement disorders, whether or not they're having excessive movements at night, which can also disturb sleep. We've had several cases recently where people are having disturbed sleep, not because of sleep apnea, but because of kicking of the legs and whatnot. And they need to be evaluated and treated in their own little separate algorithms. So a lot of little things we look at is about 12 different parameters we look at with sleep, and all those parameters are important.
It is World Sleep Day, and we're talking about sleep with Dr. Paul Manning as well as Tracy Lukritz. Tracy, now, when you are watching the people and studying them as they're sleeping, What are some of the clues that maybe they have sleep apnea or some other problems?
Well, the one big thing is we put a device under their nose that will let us monitor the airflow in and out of their nose and their mouth. When we're looking at the computer, if that line goes flat, that means there's no air coming out. That would be an apnea. And in that sense, you would watch their oxygen level, because most likely if the air's not coming in, the oxygen's not coming in, so their oxygen level will drop. That's one major part for the sleep apnea. And most you will hear it with a big loud snore at the end. So that's what the snore mic will pick up.
Of course, most people sleep during the night. You work during the day. Do you actually have people who come in and sleep during the day and have the study done during the daytime?
We sure do. And then I get to take part in that. If we have third shift workers, they will check in the morning, and then I will work over in the sleep lab, and I'll do it during the day what the girls do at night.
Dr. Manning, I had an opportunity to work the third shift when I was in college working at a factory. I hated 11 to 7. I had a hard time sleeping during the day. Is it difficult for people who are constantly on that third shift to get adjusted to that lifestyle?
Well, first of all, there are people who, by their own circadian rhythms, gravitate towards working at night. And so for those people, it's not a major problem. For the other group of people who are used to daytime living and nighttime sleeping and get assigned a third shift job, it does take some time to get used to, obviously. But after a while, you can actually retrain yourself so that you can have your circadian rhythm coincide with your needs. The problem we have with you call nighttime shifting is those factories that, trying to be fair to everybody, rotate shifts. And when you rotate shift, it takes a while for an individual to get used to that, and that's where you have problems with daytime sleepiness, trying to get used to the issues with sleeping at basically the wrong time of day. Little couple of things for people who are doing that and end up with the graveyard shift, the 11 to 7 shift, is to try to get most of the sleep done in the morning when they get off the shift. And to do that, they need to try to avoid sunlight, which during the winter is not a problem, but during the summer is. And so try to wear sunglasses when you come out of work. Try to get the majority of your sleep done during the day. Then, of course, the environment is important at that time. You have to have a nice silent environment. Dark drapes, white noise, that type of thing, a quiet environment. So that's an issue that comes up a fair amount. We have a couple of industries in town which are involved in rotating shifts, and that becomes a issue. Gary, I'd like to talk a little bit more about sleep apnea, because some people think sleep apnea is just for older men who are sort of overweight and not an issue with the other people. I'd like to point out that sleep apnea is also important for pediatrics. We have children who are, for example, have problems in school, and these kids may have increased tonsil size, whatnot, and that's an indication to be looked at to see whether or not a tonsillectomy, adenoidectomy might be indicated. There's also been some articles about sleep apnea in pregnant ladies who snore, and those people have been found to have increased incidence of cesarean sections and lower than birth weight babies. Also, with children, for example, if they have if they've been doing well with their sleep and all of a sudden start bedwetting, that could be an indication for sleep apnea in a child. So all those things have impact with people. So.
Visiting with Dr. Paul Manning and Tracy Lukerts. We got about 4 or 5 minutes left in the program. We appreciate you alerting us that it is World Sleep Day, Dr. Manning. And of course, I know you listen to the radio station and occasionally win a pizza on the Pizza Polka Fest. How'd you do today?
I got pretty close. I knew the green business, but I thought it was, for some reason, I got that mixed up with the Beatles submarine. So I thought green submarine, but it was green tambourine, of course. So. Congratulations to that guy.
Now, there are other sleep disorders. You mentioned narcolepsy. Talk about that.
Well, narcolepsy involves four different symptoms mainly. It's excessive daytime sleepiness where the patient falls asleep during the day a lot. They have a problem with what we call a sleep paralysis, where when just in the phases of sleep, they feel like they can't get up. They're paralyzed, basically. There's also an issue, what we call hypnagogic hallucinations, where REM sleep or sleep, REM sleep, dream sleep will actually come on to them while they're still awake, and they actually see dreams. They'll also have fragmented sleep as well. So the way to diagnose that is with sending them over to Tracy's lab, and Tracy checks them out at night and also during the day, and we see whether or not they actually dream during their naps. And there are things to help treat narcolepsy. It's a smaller portion of the population, but nevertheless, it's a significant portion. It can be disabling. But if recognized and treated well, the person can have a normal lifestyle.
How do you measure something like that, Tracy?
Well, for testing for narcolepsy, they will have a sleep study the night before, and then we get them up in the morning, and then during the day, every 2 hours, we have them take a short nap. We give them 15 minutes to fall asleep, and then once they fall asleep, they get 20 minutes to see if they reach that REM stage of sleep, the dream state. If they don't, we wake them up. 2 hours later, we do it again. They can have up to 5 naps. If we see REM in any of the naps, then we'll do a 5th nap, because then it would be 3 out of 5 would be best. But if we don't see any REM, then they only use 4 naps.
And Dr. Manning, once you get these results from Tracy, how can you help this person?
Well, the first thing is to have a good interview with them and figure out what their habits are and what their needs are. With narcolepsy, you can actually treat them with just scheduled naps and making sure their sleep hygiene is well. So, I mean, not necessarily do you have to reach for the medications. There are a variety of medications which help to decrease some of the REM, such as some of the antidepressants, and there's also a medication out there which is a restricted medication that we use that also helps to restrict REM sleep, and therefore they basically just have the normal amount of REM, so to speak.
It is World Sleep Day. I want to thank you both for coming in today. Some closing comments, first of you, Dr. Manning.
Well, I'd like to make the community aware that we have a great crew here willing to help people out. We're available as much as possible, both here at the clinic and at the hospital. I'd like to thank the crew at the Mercy Hospital, which keeps the fine oil machine of that Mercy Sleep Lab running, and that's Tracy here, of course, and we have our administrator, Anita Zemek, who keeps the thing running as far as scheduling is concerned. And we have our technicians, Amanda, Kayla, and Josh. Is anybody else I'm missing there?
Cindy works once in a while.
Cindy works once in a while as well. And our motto here over at the Mercy Sleep Lab is, we're here to make your sleep great again, Gary. So thanks for having us.
Oh, thank you. And Tracy, a closing comments from you. If people would like to find out more about the Sleep Center, maybe they think they might have a problem, what's the best way to do that?
Sure. They can call us during the day. The number is 244-5799. And they can talk to me. I can kind of go through it a little bit. Anybody can have a sleep study. Any doctor can order it. Then we would just get them scheduled. We're booked about 2 weeks out, so they can come in anytime.
Very good. Dr. Paul Manning, Tracy Lukerts, I'm going to get off the air here. I think I might take a nap and celebrate World Sleep Day. Are you a napper at all, Dr. Manning? Do you take naps on the weekend?
Not anymore. I had 6 kids, so I'm too darn busy.
Tracy, are you a napper at all?
Oh, I'd love to, but no.
All right. Thank you both.
Thank you.